You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. In September of 2021, the Caldor Fire nearly destroyed the El Dorado County town of Grizzly Flats. And for those who chose to stick around and rebuild, there are still hazards within the wildfire's footprint. More than 3 years later, burned, rotting trees are still at risk of falling. And some residents are being vocal about the dangers that this poses. But clearing this type of debris is more complicated than it might seem. So we're going to get a better understanding of what's going on. Joining us are Mark Ulmer and David Robinson, who are Grizzly Flats residents. And also joining us is KCRA reporter Jason Marks, who can explain the challenges more in depth. Welcome to all three of you.
Hi there.
Hi, Vicky. Thanks for having us.
Well, I'd like
Hi, Vicky. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you for taking the time. Mark and David, I'd like to start with you. Just a little bit of your background. How long have you lived in Grizzly Flats? David, I'll start with you.
Been in Grizzly Flats for 28 years. We moved up here from Sacramento and raised a family up here.
That's great. The trip up Highway 50. How about you, Mark?
My wife and I have been here for going on 31 years now, and our home survived, fortunately. But as you mentioned, the challenges of those of us still here remain.
Yeah, so both of you are longtime residents in Grizzly Flats. You've called Grizzly Flats home for decades. Mark, what does the town look like today?
It's somewhat of a moonscape. Two-thirds of it did burn in 2021, and quite a few of the hazard trees still remain, and many of them are within falling distance of the road.
David, what does it look like where you're located?
I mean, I lost almost all my trees on my property. They've removed 43 trees off the back property. But I look out and I see all the trees that are still burnt, dead, rotting, and falling. We sit in our game room on a windy day and watch. You know, we kind of wait to see which ones snap off and break. And a lot of them, you know, they've cleared the 20-foot easement off the road, but a lot of them are 100, 150-foot tall trees that if I'm looking at some right now out the window, that if they fall, they will fall on my back property. A good 50 feet of that tree will fall on it, along with crossing the road and taking out any power lines or phone lines in its path. And it's a huge safety issue right now.
Yeah. Well, Jason, I want to turn to you. You're a reporter at KCRA. You took a trip up there. What stood out to you?
What stood out was just the immediate danger. I mean, I had never been to Grizzly Flats before. And when you get there, I've driven through other burn areas, but you drive and you just drive down these roads and there's everything's burned. And when you start talking to Mark and David and they start talking about these trees were cleared out of the right-of-way areas, these 20, now each street up there has a different amount of, and a right-of-way for people who don't know is essentially the distance between road and private property. And so the county cleared all that out and that is their responsibility to do that. But you start driving around and you can see these trees that are, some of them are just right off the right-of-way. And as David said, if they fall, they're going to fall on someone. And so it really is a concern.
So why aren't they getting cleaned up if they're kind of near the right-of-way?
Well, Mark is the historian, and he could really go into this a little bit more. But from my perspective and my talking to the county, it sounds like right after the fire that the county, along with the state, allowed, they said to the residents up there, hey, we want to clean up your properties. Let us give you a right of entry form. Sign this form. We'll come onto your property because it's private property and we'll clear all the trees. We'll do the right of way, but we'll also come onto your property. And several property owners, I think David was one of those, allowed the county to come on and clear out all those trees that potentially could fall. Now, let's zip ahead almost 5 years. You mentioned the rotting trees. Now you have trees that look like they're going to fall at any minute and with any single storm. The issue is that it's private property. And the county needs to get permission from these owners. Some of these lots don't have homes on them. And so the county needs to get permission from these lot owners to go on and just remove these trees.
So the reason why these lots don't have homes on them, is that directly because of the Caldor fire, or were they just empty lots?
No, and Mark mentioned he's been up there for 30 years. So he's obviously someone who is really briefed in this. But from what I've been told is, like, you have these lots. It could be some of them have homes. Some of them are gone because the home was burned down. But some have never had a house. It could be something as simple as great-grandfather bought the lot thinking someday I want to build a retirement home in this beautiful community. And then, you know, life happens and the great-grandfather passes to his son, who has no intention of ever building a lot. And then it, you know, gets passed down to the next generation. And before you know it, you have, you know, three generations later living in Virginia who don't even realize that they have property in Grizzly Flats.
Wow. Okay, Mark. So you're the historian here. You've lived in Grizzly Flats for some 30 years. What do you know about the properties that still have these trees with people who don't currently live there, or maybe never live there?
Well, and Jason really did nail it on the summary there. And a good majority of these lots that still have the hazard trees were undeveloped to begin with, many of them absentee landowners. The properties where the homes burned, generally, as they signed the right of entry to have their home debris cleaned up, inclusive in that right of entry was to have the trees removed. So generally, anytime that there was a house on the property, then the trees got removed. So as you drive around this community, there is a patchwork of these hazard trees that are left. And some of these properties, as Jason and David will tell you, they don't have two or three of these hazard trees that are between 100, 150 feet tall. There are some lots that may have 50 or 60 of these trees. So some have snapped off into the roadway and some have not. The county, when this happens, they'll come with their heavy equipment, shove it off the side of the road, and that's the last we'll see of them. That's all they do, is just push it out of the roadway and move on to the next problem.
Okay, so I understand it's private property. These people don't live there. It could be considered trespassing. But there has to be something, if it's hazardous or a public nuisance, that the county or some agency can do. What did you learn about that, Jason?
So the county says that they could deem the property a public nuisance. And I asked the county, how many times have you done that in the last 5 years? And they haven't done it at all. And so at some point, you have to think, this is a complicated issue because it costs money, right? And they want to put it on the property owners to go and clear these trees. But if you can't contact the property owners or you just can't get in touch with them, then who's responsible if you know that there's an issue, right? If the county says that right there is a tree that potentially could be a hazard and fall and kill someone, and let's not forget that 2 years ago, a tree did fall and it fell onto a sheriff's office vehicle where you had three essentially auxiliary deputies. They're volunteers of a special unit inside the sheriff's office. They were in the car, three senior citizens. Tree falls on the right in the middle of the car. Luckily, they all survived. They were injured, but they all survived. So it has happened. And it's going to happen again at some point. But if the county sees these trees and they're like, that one needs to go, something needs to go, and they need to somehow formulate a plan to go get these trees. And they have what's on the books as a public nuisance, where then they can go to court and essentially get a judge to say, hey, you can go and remove those trees. But they're just not doing it for some reason.
I mean, that seems like a dangerous situation, especially when you talk about what happened to those three people a couple years ago. David, you had over 40 trees removed from your property. You also touched upon, you know, the dangers of being outside. I would imagine there's been other close calls, or you and your family kind of feel those dangers on a regular basis when you go outside.
Yes. And actually, when they did the right of entries and clearing properties, if you had a bigger property and the trees were offset away from the road, they didn't always clear all the trees. And I've personally, my neighbor and I cut down 24 trees on adjacent lots that wouldn't hit the road, but they were hazards. They would hit my property and my outbuildings and possibly my house. And what I found was, you know, I cut them a year and a half into this. They've been dead for a year and a half, you know, some of them 2.5 years. They are rotting inside. And when you're cutting them, you have to be very, very careful. And, you know, because they are getting spongy and rotty, and they kind of do some weird things, you know. And there's some that I hired a professional for, because that's not what I do for a living. Right now we have ones across the street, you know, there's dozens and dozens of them out here that the school bus rolls through these roads on windy, rainy mornings. And, you know, one of these trees can come down on a school bus at any given time, let alone the residents that live up here, like Mark and I and you know, my family and commuters that leave out of here every day. They are falling, you know, like toothpicks. And unfortunately, you know, some of the branches on those things are big enough. Just the branch alone on a windy day would kill somebody if it hit them. So I am concerned about them, and I've done as much around my property. I've had 8 trees on my property cleared since the county came in, because, you know, I had a friend that's a tree faller and an arborist come in and deem these, they're going to go eventually. So then they were live trees. But what happens now is the trees are, we're all protected in a group. They all group together. The wind, it wasn't bad to them because they were all protected together. Now they're out in the open and vulnerable. And we have winds up here that we'd never had before. So all these, dead trees that are 100, 150 feet tall, some of them 2.5 feet at the base, are just waiting to snap off. And my dad was an arborist, and he said, when you deal with dead trees, it's not a matter of if they're going to fall, it's a matter of when. And these are going to come down, and something else, I'm afraid something else is going to happen if they don't start acting sooner.
You're listening to Insight here at CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, I'm with Grizzly Flats residents Mark Ulmer, David Robinson. They're discussing the dangers of burned rotting trees left over from the 2021 Caldor fire. And I'm also joined by Jason Marks, a special projects reporter at KCRA, explaining the challenges of clearing this type of debris. Okay, so Jason also talked to El Dorado County. Mark and David, I imagine you would have reached out to local and state agencies. Mark, how have those conversations been like?
Frustrating at best. I started this conversation with the director of the Department of Transportation, Rafael Martinez, back in April of 2022, because I knew, as David just mentioned, it's not an if, it's a when situation, and I wanted the county to proactively start doing something about these hazard trees on private property. And over the last 3 years, I have been attempting to communicate with them. Early on in the process, the DOT director told me that we hope that the property owner will do the right thing. Well, that obviously has not happened. And ultimately, in December of 2024, the same director of DOT told me that there's absolutely nothing that the county will do about it. And perhaps me, as a private citizen, should be contacting all of these individual property owners and asking them to remove their hazard trees. My response back to them is that it's not the responsibility of private citizens to contact property owners who have hazard trees, and nor do private citizens have the authority to require that they abate the hazard to public safety. And ultimately, public safety is the responsibility of the County of El Dorado and our elected representatives. One of the options that they have, as Jason mentioned, is to declare these trees a public nuisance and go through the abatement process. This was done in Marysville for the Marysville Hotel. That hotel posed a hazard not unlike these trees. It's a building in comparison to trees, but that building, like the trees, could kill somebody. And they went through the abatement process very quickly, and that hotel was torn down. We want these trees torn down just like the hotel.
You know, Mark, I know that, you know, as you laid out, as a private citizen, it's not your responsibility to call private property owners, but you have lived in the area for 30 years. So I would imagine you have a good sense of your neighbors, maybe people who chose not to come back and rebuild. Do you know why they haven't allowed trees to be removed from their property? I know it's a case by case basis, but did you get a sense? Are they even aware that they have these trees on their property?
Well, we had one situation shortly into the Cal OES, Cal Recycle debris removal process, where the lot across the street from us, which we own adjacent to that lot, has been a vacant lot as long as we've been here. And we've never seen anybody on that property. And we could tell that there was absolutely no activity happening and that those trees were not going to be removed and ultimately could fall on our property. So I went down to the county, got the property owner's information, sent her a certified letter saying that, you know, you have these burnt hazard trees. Ultimately, she contacted me. She's in her 80s, lives in the Bay Area, and had no idea that there was a fire here and that she had all these burnt trees. So working with her, even though I've not met her in person, we spoke on the phone several times, working with her, I got her in touch with the county. She signed the right of entry papers, and ultimately she was able to get in under the Cal OES tree removal process. This is just one neighbor. And, you know, this took me several weeks to get done. And she had no idea. She didn't even have a computer. So she had to do all of her correspondence through mail with the county. I can only imagine that this situation is multiplied by over 100 property owners. And most of the property owners are absentee landowners. They could be out of state and have no idea of something that was called the Caldor Fire in 2021.
Okay, Jason, when you talk with the county, we did invite the county to join us, but they were unable to make it. It's a Board of Supervisors meeting day. It is Tuesday. But what did you learn about the kind of outreach that's being done since there are absentee property owners?
Well, the county is working with the Resource Conservation District. And the Resource Conservation District still has a program going on right now where if you are a property owner up there and you want your trees, your hazardous trees cleared, they'll come up and do it for free. It's on their website. I'm told that they have sent out letters to residents about that, several letters, at least three rounds. I believe Mark will tell you that he's never seen a letter and he's lived up there through the fire and continues to live up there today. And so we're being told one thing, and then some residents are saying, I'm not seeing these letters that they're talking about being sent out. So what is the truth? We don't know.
Yeah. I also wonder, I mean, the Caldor Fire is one of several wildfires that have been incredibly destructive, among the top destructive in state history. And we're just talking the past 7 years or so. having burned rotting trees or a type of hazardous debris, I think that comes with rebuilding and recovery. So shouldn't there be a protocol that exists how to handle things like this?
You would think. I mean, that would be, that's what you would be led to believe, but there's not. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of the folks who do live in Grizzly Flats, some of them, not all of them, you know, they go up to Grizzly Flats for a reason, right? They want to be away from essentially civilization. You know, I mean, they live in this area. Some of them like to be on their property and don't like to be bothered, according to the county. And so the county goes onto their property. The Resource Conservation District was telling us a story when we were interviewing them that they went onto one property, had hazardous trees, not necessarily hazardous for the roadway, but hazardous for the woman who was living in her mobile home. And he knocked on the door and said, hey, you know, that tree could come down at any minute and fall on you. We're certainly can, if you want to give us the right of entry, we'll take care of that tree. And this was not too long ago. And she decided she didn't want to do it. I mean, they obviously there's a passion for these trees. And the last thing you want to do is look at your property and not see any trees. It's part of the reason why you move up there. Unfortunately, they're in a situation where these trees could unfortunately kill someone.
Yeah. Where's your reporting taking you next?
Well, not to tip off the county on what we're doing, I think we need to look to see, is the county actually going to follow up and reach out to some of these property owners? We're told that the county is now going to go back through the right-of-ways in Grizzly Flats, take a look to see if there are any additional trees that need to be cleared out. So we're hoping that they're true to their word on that. And then we also need to make sure, is the county going to reach out to some of these property owners? It is a safety issue. I understand it's private property. Are you going to deem some of these trees a public nuisance? And you haven't done it yet, but you know that it's going to happen, and it's going to be a completely different story if it falls on a person or a car and someone is killed. Yeah. It's, you know, the warning's out there for sure. Mark and David have sounded the alarm. Are they going to do anything to make sure that it doesn't happen?
Well, David, I'll leave the last word to you. We have about a minute left. I mean, listening to all of this, it feels kind of, the reality of things as they stand today feels kind of unsatisfying, to say the least, because it doesn't really seem like there's something concrete in terms of a solution. So what would you like to see done moving forward?
Actually, I would like to see the county be a little bit more aggressive about trying to contact these people. They're on their tax bills. They have information that they can get a hold of them that I'm not necessarily privy to. But if the people refuse to do it, they need to deem it a hazard. They can actually put a lien. I used to work for state parks. You can put a lien against their property so that after the fact, if they sell their property or do anything with it, they can recoup some of their money. They're spending money sending crews up here to push these things out of the road with heavy equipment. So they need to step forward and make this happen before somebody does get killed.
Does this give you a bigger message, overarching message of what it is to be a wildfire survivor in California?
Like I said, we've been up here 25 years without an incident. And it, you know, when I was up here right after the fire, our house did survive. I had windows melt out, and it was apocalyptic. It looked like a nuclear bomb went off up here. And, you know, these trees are a huge safety issue, and there's safety issues on the roadway and everywhere around here. I avoid certain areas because I know it's a dangerous area. So they need to take the bull by the horns and maybe come in and at least mitigate the ones that look really bad and will fall on the road.
Well, David, Mark, and Jason, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for having us, Vicki.
Yeah, thank you, Vicki. Thanks for having us.
Mark Ulmer and David Robinson are Grizzly Flats residents discussing the dangers of burned rotting trees that are left over from the 2021 Caldor fire. Jason Marks is a special projects reporter with KCRA explaining the challenges of clearing up this type of debris. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.